have already received your income tax receipts that were passed out this week. When you take a look at that, and if you have been faithful in that and faithful in giving in that, use it in prayer. Don't just use that simply as a send it into the government in order to get a deduction and so forth on your taxes. Use your tax receipt in prayer. What I mean by that is when you come before God, you pray, and then you take your tax receipt and you wave it before the devil and say, "Devil, you are rebuked. The Lord has rebuked you on my behalf. Because I've been faithful in giving, I've been faithful in paying my tithe, I've been faithful in what God has called me to do with my finances. So you are rebuked, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ." And this whole tithing was started back so many years ago when Abraham ran into Melchizedek, and Melchizedek received the tithe from Abraham, and Melchizedek, who was a priest of the Most High God, the Bible said, most theologians actually believe he was Jesus, he blessed Abraham. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Abraham gave the tithe, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and the actual Hebrew grammar of that, the way it's worded, is that is an ongoing, continual process throughout the ages. Actually, man is still giving tithe, Melchizedek is still blessing. And as we pay the tithe, then we receive the blessing of being givers, honoring God with the tithe. So use your receipt and wave it before the devil, declaring, "My God said that he would rebuke you, Mr. Devil, and you're rebuked in the name of Jesus. You're rebuked, devourer. You don't have a right on my stuff. You are rebuked, and count it all joy to be able to give and receive the blessing." Well, stand with me this morning. Father, we thank you for your grace, your anointing. We thank you for the opportunity to give today, Lord. We thank you for Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us. We thank you that Jesus Christ, how Melchizedek is represented in Jesus Christ, and as Abraham brought the tithe to you, Lord, that you poured out your blessing, and you're still pouring out your blessing today, God. And we thank you, Father, for the ability to be able to receive a harvest from our seed being sowed. And Lord, you know, God, you know how people have been here very diligent, God, and honoring you with the tithe. They've taken from a tenth of everything that has come into their hands, and they've given it, Lord. And Father, we have planted into good soil, and therefore, in the name of Jesus, we receive the blessing that comes through Melchizedek, the blessing of honoring the tithe. So we thank you now as we worship you in our giving. And Lord, we want it to be acknowledged as a worship to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we hear the word of the Lord. Say this with me, Father, I receive the words of the Holy Spirit this day. I receive words spoken, and they bring me life. In Jesus' name, I am a child of God. I receive the things of God now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Receive the things of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The worship was really just something special this morning, I thought. The words that impact us are really tremendous. Those words that are spoken over and over and over again. Sometimes we think we're just singing songs, but sometimes we're actually praying. Sometimes we're worshiping. Sometimes we're just really acknowledging the greatness and goodness of God. And all these things are very, very awesome, really. They're good. And I want to take a look at some things this morning. Talk a little bit about some of the things that's happening in the world, around the world, and so forth. I want to share a little bit about the activities of the world. I want to hopefully stir in our hearts a passion to set our families on a path of safety, as opposed to just going about life willy-nilly, thinking that we can get away with things that the world does. The prophet Bill Hammond prophesied over us as a church that there'll be some churches that'll be able to get away with stuff that we won't be able to get away with. In other words, we have to live right. There's some things that are happening around the world that we should be taking notice of. We heard some things this week. One of them is that, you know, the Pope resigned. That's a significant event in the world, a significant thing that has happened in the world. We also heard that the St. Peter's Basilica was struck with lightning. You got that up there, Shannon? It was interesting, this picture. I thought, man, this is pretty foretelling. Anyway, St. Peter's Basilica was hit shortly after the Pope gave his resignation, basically, and said he was done. He did his job. And that was a significant thing. I mean, how many times have we heard of the Vatican ever getting hit by lightning? It's significant. There's things that happen, and you put that along with, you know, this picture was actually taken. It's pretty awesome, really. You know, how did they catch that? Well, they all of us got cameras on that, so they caught that, and this was on the news itself. Significant things that are happening around the world. There's also a pope of many, many years ago, I believe it was the 11 or 1300s, I forget, that has prophesied a number of things about the popes, the future popes, and he prophesied about things concerning the popes that would come over the years, and some believe many of the predictions have already came through about the last five or six popes. And the thing about the prediction that he made concerning this next pope is that he would be the last pope. Would actually be a person who might represent the false prophet of Revelation. You know, it wouldn't be unusual for the devil to use a position like that to try to manipulate people, try to manipulate things. And I don't believe that speaks necessarily against all of the Catholic Church. It simply speaks of a person who is at a significant position in the world. Obviously, there was some popes that were very good and some popes that were, persecuted, and some popes that actually really helped proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. And some of them were very good. Some of them were not so good. This one, so the prediction comes that he may not be a good one at all. Is it fact? I don't know. But my point is, things are changing. Things are happening around the world. It will be interesting because one of the things that this prophecy says about the next pope will be that he'll call himself Peter of Rome. And one of the contenders for the next pope is a cardinal named, his name is translated, Peter of Rome. And it will be interesting, won't it, to see who comes in next place, comes in there. Is that all fact and through and so forth? And should we get all, believe that this is just a total sign of the end? No, I don't think so. I think we need to just, but I don't think we can totally avoid them either. We have to look at what's happening around the world and try to take a sense of the things that are falling into place. Because we are going day in and day out, living our lives like normal, like the day before, and while things are escalating, things are changing. And if I'm not that old, but there's one pile of changes that have taken place in my lifetime. And it's hard to imagine. I know back even in the 80s, when I first got saved, some of the things that they were talking about then, you couldn't imagine it taking place. You just couldn't possibly conceive it happening, but here we have it today. Things are escalating tremendously. I want to read from Luke chapter 21 this morning for a few minutes when the disciples asked Jesus, "When will all the signs of the coming of the end of the age come?" They were asking the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when's the terrible things of the end times, of the apocalypse, going to take place? And so he said this in Luke 21, verse 9. "But when you hear of wars," now he's given them an inclination of what's going to happen before the end of time comes. "When you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first. But the end will not come immediately. And he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We certainly see that happening, especially when you look in the Middle East, you see a lot of violence taking place. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs of heaven. Well, I can imagine when that meteorite hit over Russia this week, that anybody that knew the Bible, it must have shocked them a little bit. And I know there have been reports, certainly, of people who thought that this was the end of the world. It was all over, and because of what had happened. Can you imagine, like, if people are going along their daily lives, and all of a sudden they heard this supersonic sound, and this boom, and windows being shattered out, and so forth. It's amazing. Could it be a sign of things to come? Could it be a wonder? Could it be something that Jesus was talking about when he said that great signs and wonders from heaven would be demonstrated? Verse 12, but before all these things, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. So Jesus is saying that there's going to be persecutions come before the very end of time. And there are things that the church will be persecuted for in the days ahead that it's not being persecuted today. Not being persecuted for today. And I think part of the reason is that maybe the church isn't as militant as it was a time ago. But there is some persecution. There is some mistreatment taking place within Christendom. With 100 Huntley Street, right now the government has been giving them $500,000 a year in order to drill wells in Kenya. It was part of their missionary outreach. And somebody seen something on their website that was on there some time ago about calling homosexuality a sin. Those, of course, leaning toward homosexuality got all excited. Now it's before Parliament and the courts and so forth, and they want to take that grant from them and not allow them to be able to do missionary work in that way with that finances because of a stand that Christian believers take. Now, this is a form of persecution, and it's not going to start out all of a sudden. It will start very lightly like that. That's not a big matter. It's not a big deal when you look at Christians being persecuted. But persecution won't necessarily start with a big deal. It'll start slowly. And if you want to get a good example of that, go back to when Hitler started and persecuting the Jews. It came a little bit by a little bit by a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more to the point where they, as far as the Hitler and the Nazis were concerned, they had no right to live. So when persecution comes, it'll start off slowly and it will increase. But these things should not disturb us because the Bible clearly says that there will be persecution. There will be a time of persecution that will come upon the church. Now, you and I have to decide as Christians what we're going to do with that persecution. Are we going to fall in line with the rest of the world and just take whatever it is that they're putting out? And unfortunately, it's very sad to say that much of Christendom already has. Much of Christendom today takes a real light view at even people living together, people not having going through proper marriage channels. And not only, it's not speaking out condemnation about those who do, but within the body of Christ, we seem to take it lightly, where it's just a matter of life. And we start to look at that as, well, everybody's doing it, so it must be okay. It's not okay. The Bible hasn't changed. The Bible hasn't shifted one little bit. Yes, there is grace, and God wants to pour out His grace upon His people, but the Bible hasn't changed as far as His moral standards go. And if we cross over the boundaries of moral standards, then there's going to be a price to pay. Now, there will be a price to pay individually if we do that, but there's also a price to pay corporately. What I mean by that is we begin to set an environment where we're teaching our children that these things are not as harmful as we tend to think. because everybody else is around us is doing it. Now, let me tell you that if your school, where your kids are going to are caught up in all kinds of, their sexual orientation is in confusion, and they're having a difficult time of understanding these things, if you were not teaching them, if you were not pouring something into them, guess what? The influence from out there is going to get on them and be a whole lot more influential than you are. We have to be proactive in these things. So we're living in a time where things are changing, things are shifting, things are accelerating. And I believe as things accelerate, the body of Christ must learn to accelerate in their passion for God. Because if we don't take a passionate look at the cross, a passionate view of the kingdom of God and advancing the kingdom of God, the body of Christ will be swept up with the world. Now remember that Jesus said this. He said, even the elect will be deceived if possible. Even the elect. So don't think about just because you can come to church on Sunday morning and you hear a little bit of the gospel that you're okay. The Bible talks about how deception can take place within the body of Christ. Now, as I was studying this week, I felt the Lord really bring this scripture, stirring this scripture in my heart in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 2. God speaking to his people by the prophet Jeremiah said in verse 9, he said, therefore, I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, against your children and your children's children, I will bring charges. Another translation says, I will plead with you. And the reason the Lord brings charges, or the reason the Lord pleads with his people while they're in sin, is pleading them to come back to him. He's pleading with them to turn around. He's pleading with them to make a shift. He's pleading with them to repent in the true meaning of the word repent, which is change, turn around, change your way of thinking, and think according to the kingdom of God. You see, the Bible says, judgment coming upon the world, but God is still busy. He's still doing everything he can to plead with the people to come back to him, to take back a standard of righteousness within the body of Christ. If we don't do this, we'll begin to look at things foggy. And again, if the body of Christ isn't setting a moral standard, if you're not speaking to your children about sexual orientation and about how God has made us and so forth, then the world out there is, whether it is by teaching in the schools or just being a part of the environment, they are being taught that whatever state you find yourself in, it's okay. Well, that's not what God says. God says something totally different. God speaks to us about a standard that he has designed human beings to live by. Now, Dodge is coming up with a new truck this year. Let's talk about shifting, eh? Shifting direction. Not really. Dodge is coming up with a new truck this year, and I hear that it has 8 gears in the transmission in order to give it a wonderful gas mileage, real good gas mileage. And apparently it's going to beat the Fords. I just had to get that in there. Anyway, those new trucks that are coming out that has a transmission of 8 gears in it, you know what? When you drive along the highway, they're not meant to drive along the highway in fourth gear. They're not meant to manually shift and keep it in fifth gear and drive along the highway. If you do that, you know, if you're going 100 kilometers an hour in second gear down the highway, something's going to happen. Something's going to bust, something's going to break, something's not going to function right. Well, the designers of that give a little instruction. I mean, there's a whole manual when you buy a new vehicle about how the thing works, how the automatic transmission works. And if you follow those instructions, your vehicle will work well for you. But if you go another way, if you say, well, I know there's 8 gears and, you know, that 8 gear up there, it'd be good for the highway, but I want to drive in first gear. I want to hold that sucker down so I can just hear the motor revving. Well, I know a guy who did that one time. I remember back years ago in them little Ford Mustangs, and he had a 3-speed standard, and he was kind of a crazy kind of a chap. When it come to cars, he could fix them like that, but he drove that, and I've seen him one day drive a 70 mile down the road and take the thing in first gear and put it in there and just blew the transmission all apart. Well, the car wasn't meant to do that. It was never designed to do that. Well, you know, we have a manual as well. When God created you and I, He gave us a manual. He told us how to live. And He said, if we live according to the manual, we'll not bust and fly all apart. But if we cross the boundaries, if we go over the boundaries that God has set according to the manual, something's going to break down. How many know? We know people who are broken. We know people who are broke down. We know people who have very difficult times, and they're just meandering around in life, wondering, you know, what life is even about, because they've crossed boundaries that should never have been crossed.